Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. Sorry for all the delays for this episode. I have a special guest here.
Hi, my name is Eugenia. I am Emmy's twin sister and number one Emmy Awards fan. Emmy Awards listener? I don't know. I begged Emmy to let me record this with her because I'm obsessed with Bachelor Pad. I was the one who begged her to cover season two because I liked season one, but season two, it just had a certain je ne sais quoi. Like, I just loved it. So I was like, I should join you on the pod because I have so many thoughts about the show, and for the finale, it just made sense. I have never recorded a podcast about a TV show. Emmy and I did a couple episodes. Don't go look for those, please. And earned her podcast before she pivoted to the TV thing. So yeah, go easy on me. I have notes, but I did not take comprehensive notes like Emmy. So we shall just begin. I have something to say about the show. I think that if you are a Bachelor viewer, if you listen to Game of Roses at all, this is necessary viewing for you as an audience member, because it's just the intersection of gameplay and Bachelor stuff. Like, it's just so interesting, because Bachelor is all about For the Right Reasons and love and all that stuff, and this isn't, so it's just like weird what's been going on. So I'm gonna let Emmy start, and then I'm gonna hop in with my thoughts as we go along.
So episode six opens up with Blake had just gone home, and Holly says that things with Michael aren't the best because he saw how hard it was for her to say goodbye to Blake, and she's worried it will be hard for them to compete as a couple, and now there's that tension. Chris Harrison tells them that the winner of the last competition goes automatically into the finals, and also it's not in LA, so they need to pack their bags for Vegas.
Like, oh my god. Such a long trip. We're going to Vegas. It's like right next door. With so much dramatics, I feel.
I know, especially, I don't know if this season, but they've had dates in Vegas where they like stay overnight. It's like, yeah. Pack your bags for Vegas. Okay, calm
Didn't
down.
Didn't they have any Bachelor Pad 1?
Maybe as well, yeah.
There was, like, some date at some point, either in season one or season two, where they were in a different place.
Well, there were multiple, but I don't know if any of them were Vegas, because they went to, like, Lake Tahoe or something.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like they also went to Catalina Island, but I don't know if that was in the show or if that was in another show.
No, I do think they went to Catalina Island.
Anyway, too many dramatics for me.
Casey says in ITMs that everything he's predicted has happened.
He has the mind of a mastermind.
I hate Casey.
Okay, Raven.
Then
that's Raven from BB19. Oh my gosh, she's on BB19. Anyway, that's what I was joking about. Not that's a Raven, though. She's also a psychic, but I just like clarified.
Oh wow, what my joke was so about. True. I didn't even put that together.
That's anyways, Raven. When I said Raven, who did you think I was talking about?
No, I thought you were talking about. I didn't even think about Raven Simone.
Okay, it's Raven Baxter. Raven Simone is not a psychic. Her character okay. is.
I didn't even know that. Anyways.
You didn't know that Raven Simone no. wasn't a psychic?
I forgot her name. Her last name wasn't
Simone. Like Miley Cyrus? But no, Miley Stewart. Okay. They don't ever use their last names. Sorry. Tangent. Okay.
The final competition.
She'll cut all that out in post.
No, I won't. Unless you want me to. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Final competition is a Cirque du Soleil competition. I have to say, I like this one less than the final competition for season one. I thought the season one final competition where they did dancing was a lot more, because it's like here, it's like all of them are like barely going to be able to do it. Like they do it, but they do it like haphazardly. The dancing, it's like maybe some of them could actually dance somewhat well. I didn't love this competition. It was also not as engaging to watch.
Yes. And if we're thinking about it from a Bachelor standpoint, dancing can be viewed as romantic and like linked to romance. Like think about how many times on dates people have gone dancing. I guess there have been like circus dates, but it's just not very romantic. So I think I think what this show never really figured out, and it's probably why it didn't last very long, is how do you balance the typical Bachelor For the Right Reasons love premise with a competition show. I think that Listen to Your Heart, like, years later, tried to do something similar, and it just, like, we'll get to it later in the final people, but it's like, is this about love or is it about
right, gameplay? Because it seems like the last season, the couple did not win.
No.
And
they actually lasted a while. No, but my point is that, like, the dancing just made more sense.
Exactly.
To be that honest, couple, I don't have any notes about this part. It was kind of a snooze fest. I fast-forwarded at parts. I know you're not supposed to do that when you recap, but Emmy's taking notes. So I fast-forwarded because I was watching as a viewer.
For the final competition, they'll be judged on technical ability, showmanship, effort, and chemistry. Like, okay.
Chemistry, exactly. So dancing is more important for chemistry.
Exactly. The losers will be immediately eliminated.
Pack your bags.
Exactly. They practice on the floor and then they do it hanging. They have like a freestyle portion that they have to come up with themselves. Casey in Vienna, Casey specifically, wants to do like a heart shape at the end. Who the fuck cares?
Guard and protect.
with this little tattoo.
Like, what do you mean? He makes his tattoo bulge. Like, he makes it...
That gave me the
ick. It's so weird.
I hated that.
The weirdest part is that he allegedly got this tattoo for the girl he was on...
Oh, I didn't know that.
He got it on The Bachelor season.
Oh, they mentioned it. Right.
Because it was like Vienna's back and she's with the guy who got the tattoo. Like, that was his whole thing. But he's like, then shut up about it.
Wonder whatever happened to him. I actually don't.
Imagine he got the tattoo removed.
He doesn't seem like he would.
It's just weird because you get it. Like, he seems like he fed into the bit a little too much. Like, he got it for the show and then he was like, I'm gonna keep going. I'm like, oh, okay. Right,
anyways. Holly is worried that she and Michael are not going to do well because they're not maybe on the same page because of that tension that I previously mentioned. That rhymed. Mm-hmm. Graham is afraid of heights and Michelle is getting nauseous. So they are stressed out about it. Casey is overly cocky like he always is. He's rude to Vienna in the ITM, says she can't win without him. I cannot stand this man. I'm glad that they're not together. Ella is also...
Spoiler.
I already said that, like, two episodes ago.
Okay.
Like, I that's the one spoiler it had for the end of the...
By the reunion, again, we'll get to that later in this episode, they're still together at this point. Yeah. It was so weird to me.
It was. I'm like, how...
Because he didn't seem to like her. It seemed like it was just like, you have to stay together.
It was very odd, too, because they had a bunch of people being like, oh, this is not a healthy relationship, but then, like, they're still together.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, but then there was, like, a weird thing, like, I'm a changed man.
Anyways.
Okay, I guess they're not together. Spoilers.
I said that, like, at the beginning, because I was like, the one spoiler I know is that they did not end up together.
Well, of course, but anyone could have predicted that. But at this point in the narrative, they are together.
Okay, well, this happened 10 years ago. Everybody knows that. Like, okay. Ella is struggling as well, and everyone's basically out of their element, and it's just a lot less interesting to watch than the dancing competition, because everybody's kind of like... It honestly feels like the people who are the least worst are going to win. It's not like the people who are the best. And that's not fun for me personally. Then Holly and Michael talk. I wrote Holly and Blake talk in my notes. Oops, Freudian slip. He's gone. Holly and Michael talk. She says they need to push past the tension from the Blake situation for this. And she knows that they can do this. He's struggling because he's in love with her and she's not. He says this in ITMs, not to her face. We see Graham and Michelle practicing, Ella and Kirk practicing. She says in ITM she doesn't think anyone is sleeping tonight, and then they cut to Casey asleep, which was funny. The judges for the competition are Trista Sutter. That was a typo, okay? I know her name is Sutter. Jason Mesnick and Ali. Wait, fun fact about Ali Fedotowsky, I think is her last name. She was The Bachelorette. Fun fact about her, I don't know if it's a fun fact, but she's on a Bachelor Nation podcast with, or maybe she just went on Caitlin Bristow's podcast, but she is a vegetarian, and she told the story that she went out to lunch with Gia, who was also on this season, and Gia was like, you should really, like, think about, like, cutting out meat from your diet. It's been wonderful for me. And then after Gia passed... She, like, decided to be vegetarian, and she's been a vegetarian ever since. I heard that story, and I thought it was so...
That is sweet.
Sweet. Anyways, Michelle and Graham go first. She says in ITMs that they fail at everything except chemistry, so they need to play it up. They kiss, etc. Like, good for them, but...
See, I think Michelle and Graham are really... They're smart players. I know their gameplay is questioned later in the show, but I do think that they were smart. Like, what do you mean? They know that they're not good at dancing, so they're focusing... Because they know what they're being judged on, so they're focusing on what they're good at.
I agree. They're, like...
Also, in the newlywed game thing, they had that weird...
That was crazy strategy. Like, smart, but also insane.
They should have picked a different number.
I agree.
But I guess they didn't...
How would they know?
Yeah.
It could...
Also, it's like, imagine how many dates do you have to... Like, one of the questions was, like, how many dates before you have sex for the first time? Like, imagine if it was, like, 18. It's like, that's a lot of dates, I guess.
Didn't somebody write something, like, 30, though?
I don't remember.
I wrote in my notes, I will be honest, I don't know how you really show chemistry in this kind of competition.
Right, it's not dancing.
Like, they're not even, like, together. They, like, climb up this, like, wall separately, like latched to harnesses. At the end, they touch and they kiss, but it's like there's no chemistry. It's flop of a competition. It was probably some Cirque du Soleil ad. Anyways, Ellen Kirk are next, and she's freaking out because she can't stop thinking about falling and getting hurt and, like, not going home to her child. No, like, that is what she was saying.
No, I know, but she's a little dramatic, girl. But I get it.
Then she...
I do feel like that's probably one of those moments where the producers were like, what's the worst that could happen?
No, for sure, like, for sure. They egged her on. Yeah, it wasn't like she just out of nowhere was like...
just doing circus, and then they're like, I could die, and, like, that is giving the producers what's scaring her.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just
a little dramatic.
And then she says she doesn't want to get hurt, but she doesn't want to, like, Kirk down. Like, that, she's, like, really freaked out because she doesn't want to fail him, but she's scared to, like, go all out because she doesn't want to get hurt.
I have a small comment about Kirk. Okay, this entire show, I really liked him on this season, but I had already watched him on Bachelor in Paradise, so I had negative feelings about him going in, and it made it kind of difficult.
Really? I completely, like, blocked out that he was a new person to me, yeah. Kirk.
I liked him a lot on the show.
I don't remember, like, the only thing I remember from Bachelor in Paradise, his season, was the breakup. I don't remember anything about him beyond that, and I don't want that to taint my, like, I took Kirk in with a new lens.
Yeah. I wish I could have done that. I couldn't have. That was, like, the first Bachelor in Paradise season we watched. So I have, like, a lot of connection to that specifically.
That makes sense.
Like, all the other people say, oh, my God. Again, small tangent. But the very first season of Bachelor in Paradise we watched, I think it was actually season two.
It was season two. Yeah.
But the first one we watched, there was, like, an entire storyline about how some people communicated beforehand. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
It was, like, Sam and something else. I don't remember their exact names. But it's just crazy because now it's, like, people come in with, like, established relationships. The fact that, like, they, like, slightly talked beforehand
it's insane how it's changed. Also, I found that interesting because... on Bachelor Pad, people had pre-existing relationships, so it wasn't, like, a standard in the show that for the spin-offs you wouldn't know each other.
Right.
I wonder why it was such a big deal on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, we'd have to rewatch. But I agree. That was one of the most interesting parts of this season to me, is the fact that there was a couple that came in, and they were an established couple. Because that didn't happen. There was, like, in season one, there was, like, those people, but it clearly seemed like she was, like, way more into him.
No.
Like, Elizabeth, whatever her name is.
But even, not just the romantic relationship aspect, in season one, there was a whole, like, we are friends from before the show and we are not, and that the pre-existing relationships had a role in the gameplay. It's not like everybody came in and then they bonded. It was like people took their pre-existing feelings about their friends into account. So it's just very interesting to me. I guess... it was a different era, but it's just so interesting to me now with this knowledge how that Bachelor in Paradise thing played out.
I think it's probably just because social media hadn't happened yet. Yeah, that was right probably. At the beginning.
Anyways, their freestyle with the flowers was cute. They, like, throw flowers at the end. I liked that. But technically, they struggled. Like, they really were not doing the best. Then Casey and Vienna are next. Technically, they did really well. I was mad. I wanted them to lose immediately and get sent home. They didn't. Holly and Michael are next and the last ones, and she's worried after Casey and Vanna's performance that they're not going to do as well, but they do really well, and this was my favorite to watch. Jason says that they seem like a couple in it. He's like, are you guys together? And they're like, no. And he's like, well, because you seem like you... Very awkward. Then the judges speak. Ali says that Casey and Vanna had passion. Jason says that he'd have liked to see more showmanship with Ellen Kirk.
Who are they?
The judges? Jason Mesnick, Ali Fititowski, and Trista Sutter.
Okay. You already said that. I don't remember. You were saying Jason, and I was like, I'm pretty sure he means Mesnick. I remember seeing him. Again, I skipped a lot of it.
Ali says Holly and Michael's ending was... and technical merit was outstanding. And then Jason says Graham and Michelle took a while to get started. It would have been nice to see the handshake better. Which was, like, their freestyle where then they kissed. The winners are Holly and Michael, and I was happy about that. And they're going to the finals immediately, and they are choosing the couple that will join them in the finals. One couple is going home today, and then there will be three and they get to eliminate a couple and choose the couple that they want to go with. The judges get to eliminate a couple based on the worst performance. Trista has Casey and Vienna step forward, and then she tells them that they're safe. And I was upset. No, I'm kidding. I knew that they weren't going at this point. It's between Kirk and Ella. and Graham and Michelle. Kirk and Ella are eliminated. And I kind of saw this coming based off of her ITMs leading up to it. She's very sad. She keeps saying she feels like she let Kirk down. In her exit, she's emotional. She says she let Kirk down. She let Kirk down. She let herself down. She let her son down. And she's mad she was worried about falling and that she couldn't push past that fear. I don't remember what Kirk said in his exit because I didn't take notes and it wasn't that important. Probably something like standard. Back in LA at the mansion. So like, what was this, all this hubbub about them packing their bags? They're back in LA. It's not even like the end was in Vegas. Like, you're back in LA. Anyway, Holly and Michael have the power. First, they talk to Casey and Vienna.
No, wait, I had notes about this.
Okay.
I thought that there were so many dramatics about the choice. Okay? Like, we saw a lot of segments about, like, well, who are they going to pick and this and that. And, like, but we're your friends and we trusted you and, like, you're my friend. And then there was the other people who were, Casey and Vienna, I'm sure Emmy has notes about this, but their whole shtick was, you guys are going to win, okay? Like, we're an easy dub. It's basically the Big Brother, who do you pick at the end? Are you going to do Mackenzie or Cody Califiori? Or are you going to be smart? Are you going to do Steve and cut Vanessa? You know, like, that was the vibe that this was giving. I thought that they were all being a little bit too dramatic about it.
I agree.
Like, there were too many dramatics. Let's just relax. Because at some point, it was like, I think Graham and Michelle probably thought that they had it in the bag. And then when they started hearing that Vienna and Casey might have started to convince them, I think they started to lose it a little bit. And then I thought it was just, like, a little bit too much. It was like, you guys are friends. You're still gonna be friends after this.
Graham especially took it really personally. Exactly. Casey, Vienna says in ITMs that she told Casey to be less intense, but immediately Casey is, like, very intense. He's like, we earned a spot in the final four. He kind of brings up them trying to get rid of him earlier in the season, and he's shooting himself in the foot. It's very stupid.
As he does. Later in the show, someone says that Gia says Casey is the smartest person she's ever met.
I know. It was a little... Maybe she means smart in a, like, evil way.
I just don't think he's that smart. I was like, girl, what? Where? Love you, Gia.
Casey says Graham and Michelle kept their hands clean and they did the dirty work. Basically, what Eugenia was saying about them, like, they would be easy to beat, which I think is probably true. Everybody, like, nobody really... I don't know.
I think Casey's acting like people wouldn't vote for him in Vienna because they played the game and they were like he's basically saying we had a bad social game. It's like, no, it's because you guys were fighting all the time and you were verbally assaulting your girlfriend.
Yeah, he has a horrible read on the house. He's right that they wouldn't vote for him, but not because of the reason he thinks.
Right, because I'm sorry, at the end of the day, people who play the game, that's usually respected. It's just about how you treat people. And even if you, like, slightly backstab people in a game sense, I don't think that that's, again, this is a little bit different because Bachelor, they are a little bit more, like, about friendships and love and whatever than, like, Big Brother, where, like, Big Brother's a little bit more cutthroat. But, like, Casey acted like the reason that people wouldn't vote for him in Vienna is because he was, like, this mastermind and he was, like, doing, as he said, doing the dirty work. And it's like, no, people aren't voting for you because you guys had made the experience generally unpleasant for a lot of people because no one enjoys watching a bunch of couples, like, a couple fighting. Like, no one likes it.
Yeah, I agree.
And Jake Pavelka, if Casey and Vienna were at the end, sorry, spoiler, if Casey and Vienna were at the end, Jake Pavelka would have, like, literally roasted her to filth.
It's very true. After the,
No one, it's not because you did the dirty work, buddy. It's because no one likes you.
Then they argue that there's no way they'd win. Michael mentions this.
That's true.
In the ITMs.
Exactly, yeah.
That this is, like, the story they're selling him, but he doesn't know if he believes it. But I think it's true.
I think Michael had to say that. There's no way he thinks that he would lose against Casey.
That's true.
I think the only thing that they have is that, like, they're a couple, right? But then Graham and whatever her face is are also a couple.
That's true. They would have, I mean, they
Michael
had a good
chance. Michael is a savvy player. Michael, I do feel like that is just not.
They had a good chance against anyone.
Exactly. So, I think they had the best chance.
I think if it was like Michelle and Graham had to make the decision and they were choosing between Michael and Holly or Casey and Vienna, this would be a better argument. But it's like Holly and Michael, like, they had the best chance against most people.
Exactly.
Anyways.
I agree. That's a perfect point. If it was Graham and Michelle... Michelle Money. I don't know why she's called that. Is her last name actually Money?
I have no idea.
Anyway, if they were at the end...
I thought we would get some kind of explanation.
Of course,
of course, people would probably rather pick her and him. Because they're kind of, like, unassuming and, like, you know. I'm sure that Casey and Fiona would get some votes, but I do think that it would be a little bit more split. It's like, Michael and Holly, they're well-liked. Michael is generally revered by everyone. Like, he had a lot of friends in the house. He still is, like, friends with a bunch of people from Bachelor Nation. Like, he goes on a bunch of podcasts and stuff. Like, people like him.
I liked him. I was like, he seems like a good guy.
Doesn't he have a twin? I swear his twin is, like, married to someone else.
Yes,
oh my god,
yes. His twin is married to Deanna. What,
Papa.
I don't know. Something Greek and, like, long. Yeah, that's true. I knew he looked familiar. Yeah. Anyways, after Casey and Vienna talk to Michael and Holly, Vienna tells Casey that he was too much. They, like, get into a fight. He's, like, drinking a beer barefoot on the pavement. It was so dramatic. She tries to talk to him, and he's mad and won't engage much. And she says that is not the way you approach Holly and Michael. And she feels like she has cleaning up to do because she feels like he sank them. Holly and Michael then talk to Graham and Michelle.
This is why Casey and Vienna would never win, is because they constantly throw each other under the bus. Even if Casey fucks it all up, Vienna, you acting like you're going to go in and save it is not true.
And no, it's like they both think that they are the one, like, carrying them as a duo. Exactly. And it's like, no, you guys need to lean on each other and work. Like, it feels like they are actively working against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He does something and she's like, I need to fix that. Exactly. Instead of, like, them helping each other and working as a team.
They don't ever combine forces. They just, like, always have to, like, neutralize the other person's, like, harm or damage or whatever. And it's like, at the end of the day, you're kind of causing more harm.
No,
because
for sure.
You're not providing you're not presenting a united front. So people are not going to think that you're a good duo, which is, like, the whole point of this show. It's like the couple at the end.
Holly and Michael then talk to Graham and Michelle, and they kind of say that they think they'd win against Casey and Deanna, but would lose against Graham and Michelle. Maybe they have a slightly better chance against Casey and Deanna, but, like, Holly and Michael are the strongest couple in terms of winning. Anyways, Graham says that they've played the game by managing relationships, and the strongest relationship he's had besides Michelle was with Michael. So this is upsetting to him. He felt like Michael was a true friend. He doesn't care about the money. He's upset about the friendship loss.
Then why come on the show? Why come on the show?
Very dramatic. Very dramatic. Like, okay. It's not that
also deep. At the end of the day, I'm sorry, it's a lot of money, but if you're splitting it between two people, and then after the taxes, it's like, that's a high-paying salary for a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not like, this is, like, maybe, like, a good little bonus.
For sure. No, for sure. It's not, like, money that you, like, that can sustain you for a long period of time. It could maybe sustain you without working for, like, a year. If you still continue your job, it would be a great, like, amount to fall back on. But it's not
a nest egg, as they say.
Exactly. But no, you're so right. Like, it's,
like, they're splitting $250,000 in two people. Again, it's a lot of money. Do not get me wrong. But is it really that worth being mad at Michael over? Especially because does Graham really think he's going to win? It's not like, this is not like Big Brother where the second place thing gets a
prize.
That's
true. You get
nothing. Would be very different for me, because then it's like, well, at least you're guaranteed $50,000 or $75,000 at this point, right?
Yeah, it's $75,000.
So, like, at that point, it's kind of like you are taking money away from them.
Yeah.
You know, like, that is something to consider.
That's very true.
Here it's like, what do you lose? What do you lose?
I agree. It's not that deep. At the rose ceremony, Michael and Holly have the roses to give out. Michelle is feeling uneasy. She had trusted that Graham's relationship with Michael would carry them, and now she's unsure. Before giving out the roses, they give a little speech. Holly says to Graham and Michelle that their loyalty has been with them, but they fear giving them the roses is giving them the win. Michael does a fake out by saying Casey and Vienna's name first and then saying, "We will not be taking you with us," which I loved because they never do these fake outs.
I know. Here. Michael has a flair for the dramatic.
He's great. Then Michael and Holly give the roses to Michelle and Graham, and war is over. Evil has been vanquished. Casey is gone. Except for in the 30, like, unfortunately, he's back within, like, 10 minutes, because then we're in the after the final rose, and he's back.
Not evil has been vanquished. I really thought they went home before.
I did, too. Like,
for some reason, I watched most of this season before Emmy did, because she was, like, pacing it out with her podcast. I, like, binged it all, and then I saved the finale to record this, so I recently watched the finale, and for some reason, when I turned on the finale, I was like, Casey and Vienna are still here? Like, I thought they had gone home for some reason.
Well, the crazy, and they do address this in the After the Final Rose segment, but it's like they had so many chances where it was like they could have been voted out and then they weren't.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were constantly like saved because they had the roses. They just, like, right. As much as I
so
don't
like
them.
So how are you a mastermind, Casey, if people constantly wanted you out?
Well, I mean, I think he would argue, but they didn't. Anyways, Casey is arrogant in his exit, as expected. Vienna cries in the limo exit because her perfect rose record was ruined. And I was like, oh my god, the rose quotient. That's amazing. Oh my god, I would be devastated too.
I want to know what her actual ratio is. Because she just means that she...
She got a rose every week. Because she won the Bachelor. Right, she won the Bachelor.
Didn't she say at the very beginning, I won the Bachelor, but the prize wasn't that good?
Yeah, she did say that. Michael.
So, like, that's what she means.
No, no, for
her
sure.
Her rose quotient
sure.
might not be that good.
No, no, I know, but she got still, like, her perfect week. Rose, that was amazing to me. I was like, oh my god, roses as, like, I was like...
Yeah.
It was amazing to
she
me.
She was looking at it as a game. That's why people didn't like her. She was before her time.
She was. I love that. I mean, I don't know if she sucks as a human being. Like, I don't know what her political beliefs are. So I'm not going to say that I stand her. But in terms of the Jake, like, Vienna, I'm always on Vienna's side. And I also am, like, glad that she is not with Casey because she can do better. Michael says, describing his relationship with Graham, that
I support her. I don't know anything about her post-show. But on the show, and we will get to this in a bit. But on the show, people literally, like, you could tell people hated her. And it's like, for what? Jake Pavelka? Pavelka? Mr. Pelvis? Whatever his name is? Like, I don't like you.
It really...
I don't understand. It was literally giving serial killer. Like, the way that he could convince everyone that he was, like, amazing. I was like, are we watching the same thing?
No, I wouldn't be shocked if in 10 years it came out that he murdered somebody.
Like, he has sinister vibes. He has sinister vibes.
I agree. There's something off about him.
I mean, I think it's just straightforward. He's abusive. Like, he was abusive to Vienna.
I know, and the way that he was able to, like, shift that into, like, I lost my cool on TV and everybody saw it.
He said, like, I made one mistake, you don't talk to women that way. And it's like, if that's how you were on screen.
That was the mask slipping. That was not you making a mistake.
That's what I feel.
Especially because Vienna, what, you think Vienna out of nowhere is, like, he's abusive? No.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We'll get there.
Michael says, describing his relationship with Graham, that it's like brotherhood. And that's where the regular segment ends, and then the After the Final Rose finale segment begins. Chris Harrison does a little recap of the season, welcomes all the eliminated contestants back, and then he asks them how they felt. Blake says he had no idea what was in store, the heat got turned on fast. Ames says he didn't know what to make of it until he met Jackie, and then he felt lucky to be there. And then Chris asks if they're still together, and they are not. She says she spent a long time feeling confused and sad. She doesn't have much closure. It seems like he just kind of abandoned her.
This part was crazy to me because I could not believe that Jackie was not the one who broke up with him. I thought Ames is definitely out of her league. There's no way that she likes him that much. I thought she got swept up in the moment. And when they get home, she's going to be like, I don't know. Like, I didn't expect them to be together when this came back, but I thought that she would have dumped him and it would just been like, whatever. It's like, she was really that into him and he broke up with her.
Right. I thought maybe it would have, like, fizzled out. You know, sometimes people go home and it's like, oh, it didn't work out. But, like, the way that she was like, I don't have any closure, and she was very upset about.
Yeah, I was very shocked.
Yeah.
Also, this is a complete tangent, but when they introduce the people, Erica has a little gavel. And I just thought that was so silly because they never really explained that. At some point, Chris Harrison asks her to use the gavel. She doesn't have anything to hit it on, so she hits it on her hand. Like, why do you
have
the gavel?
He, like, describes her as, like, the legal something, like, legal expert. Is she a lawyer? Like, that was not in her intro package.
I don't think so.
She had a gavel at some point in an ITM
as
well.
Oh, really?
I think it's part of her personality, but I don't understand.
That'd be so funny if she's
a lawyer.
Maybe
she's
a lawyer. No, I'm sorry. You can't pass the bar and then on TV say, I can do anything as long as it doesn't compromise my morals. And I don't really have strong morals.
Yeah,
so.
You can. That
Stephen Glass didn't get to pass the bar because of morality.
Okay, that's different. He lied. Plagiarism is a big deal, okay? She was on reality TV.
I just don't think if you're a lawyer, you're saying that. I don't think she's a lawyer.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she was a, what are those called?
Paralegal.
I gotta figure out why she had a gavel.
The gavel was so
curious
to me. Anyway. I thought it was so funny, and I thought it was a little bit silly that Chris Harrison kept saying, like, use your prop, girl. I'm like, okay.
Jackie says that...
Oh, yeah, back to Jackie and Ames.
Yeah. No, he says...
How do you pronounce his name? Ames?
I say Ames, but I don't know if that's...
I couldn't even remember. I, like, wrote it down because he had the little...
He says that they were two different, and then Erica says she thought they had a real chance. They seemed to have a lot in common. It's all very vague. And, like, this was, like, 10 years ago, so I don't care enough.
Also, they didn't show us enough for us to care about
them. That's true. That's true. They went home, like, the second episode or something.
It was so silly.
Like, anyways.
But she seemed, again, he seemed way more into her than she seemed into him. And he left the show. Like, she got eliminated. He leaves the show to be with her. So if you leave the show to be with her, and honestly, then you dump her, like, that's the weird part to me. Jackie gets eliminated. Ames follows her. So to me, it was like, she didn't necessarily, she was just like, I'll see you when I get out. But it didn't seem like a...
But I also, like, the thing is...
Like, why are you going to leave the show?
The thing is, I understand her, because if a man did that for me, I would think he was a lot more into me than maybe he was. Exactly. But, like, he did seem very...
You, like, objectively gave up that money. Like, he could have found a connection with someone else in the house. A lot of people weren't coupled at that point.
That's true, or at least had some kind of strategic partnership. At the end, exactly. In this game, like, there is a level of, like, romance, like, couples do last. But if you're just partnered up with somebody, like, Holly and Michael were partnered up, despite any of the tension and the conflict and the, like, they were partnered up, they weren't a couple.
Yeah. Okay, I do have to say, from a romance perspective, you left the show for me. From, like, a practical standpoint, as someone who cares about gameplay and is, like, a player, that's so silly to me.
I agree.
Win the money, and then we can get married, and we'll both have the money. Or you can buy me something really nice with the money. You're gonna give up the money for me? No.
And no, and then to do that, and then ghost, I need to know what his star sign is.
Like, it's just so silly. It's like when...
It's giving Aries. What if he's an Aries? If he was an Aries, it would make sense to me.
It's like on Big Brother, when you want someone to, like, sacrifice the money for you. Obviously, like, there's certain moral things that you wouldn't cross. Like, no one should be bigoted or, like, hateful or, like, a bully. Like, people bully Taylor. Like, that goes beyond game. And also, if you're in a relationship with someone, I want you to put the money before me, and then we can talk.
I agree.
But the thing is, if I'm in a relationship with someone in any kind of show like this, I'm telling them that. I'm telling them the game comes first right now. I want to be with you outside of this, but this is also a show. We're in this weird game thing. Focus on that first. Don't leave the thing for me. Find a strategic partnership. You don't think Erica would have been, like...
Exactly. Erica never had, like, a relationship. She would have been a great partner.
Especially because I think that would be really admirable. It's like, I'm still... Like, people would have respected him a lot. I still have feelings for Jackie. I'm not pursuing anything romantic here. And then it also kind of frees you up from, like, any of the drama of, like, the romance and all that stuff. You tell Jackie, I'm going to wait for you. You tell the other people, hey, I'm here. Like,
Erica would have been a great partner. She was very strategic.
Or just, like, anyone. People wouldn't have crossed those lines. People like Jackie.
Exactly. Yeah, people would have been respectful.
Oh, my God. The fact that he left the chauffeur and then he ghosted her is so weird. Like, that's why I really thought that when they broke up, I thought either, like you said, they drifted apart, they don't live in the same place, whatever. Or, like, she just wasn't that into him. Because she gets eliminated, he follows her. You follow me and then you leap?
Insane.
Ridiculous.
Insane. Chris Harrison then talks to Gia next. She was the only returning contestant from the first season.
This is where
season.
Gia says that Casey is the smartest person
she's
ever met.
She says Casey was very smart and she couldn't break his alliance. And then Chris is like, well, you could have many times. Like, there were many opportunities and people didn't. And I'm a Chris Harrison...
I'm looking at you, Jake Pavelka.
And I'm a Chris Harrison hater. But I was like, thank God.
I have to say, Chris Harrison, again, do not vibe with him outside of the show. I do not agree with any of his political views. I think he's a very morally corrupt person. As a host for Bachelor Pad, I think it works. You know what it is? It's because the whole, like, I'm in love, like, loves, blah, 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 that doesn't work. His sinister vibes work so good for the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because he's very, like, he pushes back. He's like, well, you could. Like, he pushes back in a healthy
way. He criticized people's game. Exactly. It doesn't feel, like, mean here. It's like, in the other show, it's like, why are we, like, questioning people about, like, if they're a virgin or not? Or, like, weird things like that. It's like, that's just weirdly personal. This is, like, all a game. So the way he, like, pushes back on people, I'm like, okay. I like the way he pushed back.
Justin says that he was at home yelling at the TV. And honestly, me too, Justin. Justin is the guy who had a girlfriend from whatever season he was on. If you don't remember, because he went home the first night. Casey says he had one motive coming in, and that was to be there longer than Jake was.
I wrote, Casey is the definition of worst person you know, just made a great point. Like, I don't like Casey, but anytime he's anti-Jake, I'm like, okay, I'm listening.
I agree. William then chimes in and says that the power couple, Vianne and Casey, didn't win any competitions. He says they made alliances with everyone, and every week somebody was stabbed in the back. And he says the finalists didn't really stab anybody in the back to get where they were. And that's how they got where they were. And they knew that they couldn't stab people in the back because then their fellow contestants wouldn't vote for them. Jury management, if he will. He's like, the finalists managed us.
I do think that's slightly silly, though.
I agree. I did like him being like, they didn't win anything because it was like every week they were like, we got this in the bag.
Yeah.
They never
did. Especially the newlywed game.
That was insane.
Like, people who weren't even in a relationship, they didn't even like each other that much, won, or, like, got higher than Jake and Vienna. And the thing is, some of the things, it's, like, it's things you should know about people.
I agree. Like, how, when they lost their virginity, how old, like, things that may, what animal would you be? I feel like those are, like, maybe that one's kind of silly, but I feel like I would tell somebody that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or you could take an educated guess, you know?
Right, like what their favorite animal is, or like, yeah. What, like, I, something. They were flopping left and right. Anyways.
If I could be an animal, which animal do you think I would be? I have one in mind.
Warthog father.
No.
Okay, capybara.
No. It's so simple. It's my favorite animal. There's a bunch of them in this area.
Brad.
No.
I don't know what your favorite... A cow. Duh. What animal would I be?
I was gonna say cat, but that's kind of boring.
I don't have an answer. I don't...
Like, my first thought is cat, because you spend a lot of time around cats. Like, I feel like you'd want to be a cat, especially, like, if you were, like, the mother cat, like, you could, like...
That would be nice.
Curl up with Ivy and stuff as a little cat. You could, like, groom them.
I do think probably a cat, just because I like to be around other cats.
Exactly.
Plus, then I could be the big sister Ernesto doesn't have because Ivy hates him. Okay, anyways, moving on. Jake then speaks, and he says that it was a crazy house. He had a different mission than the money. He wanted to make amends.
He wanted to repair his reputation. Okay, Olivia Pope.
Rectify the situation with Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
That was his goal. Sure. Vienna says they both want to move on. It's forgiven and forgotten. And then Chris is like, this seems new. This wasn't your attitude in the house. Which is kind of rude of him.
I said, living with your ex is different from being cordial on a show. They are on a reunion. This records at most like 8 hours in the day and then you're done. That's very different. And also, Vienna, poor Vienna, is probably getting absolutely flamed by the audience for her relationship with Casey. She doesn't want conflict here. And that's much different than when you're in a show and you have to send people home. Like, it's not mean-spirited for her to be like, I want Jake gone. Because the entire premise of the show
is that you is want people
get eliminated. Yeah. So, of course, you're going to eliminate. And it's so different living with someone. First of all, you're living with them. And then you're also living with them in a place that you already have history with. Like... This isn't like Bachelor in Paradise. I guess people can go back to Bachelor in Paradise, but most of the people, at least in that first season, they're going to a place they've never been before. You know? This is the Bachelor Mansion. You've all been in here
before. They had their breakup there.
Oh my god, true. And then they had, their weird,
Like, the
interview. I think they were already broken up.
Well, yeah. No, but, like, their breakup interview.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just very different. Like, Chris is, like, this seems like a different energy. It's like, maybe Vienna's trying to, like, stay above the fray and be cordial.
I also think that, and I wrote this in my notes, I think that part of, I think Casey being there definitely contributed to, like, the tension with Jake, like, mm-hmm. her animosity towards Jake being there, because Casey very much was like, I want Jake gone. He was not being very nice to her about her being even nice to Jake. Like, there was literally an instance after the synchronized swimming competition where she was like, good game, and that caused a whole fight. Like, it wasn't like a simple, like you're saying, they're just there for 8 hours filming, like, obligation. They are constantly in the same place, and you have... like, a person in your ear being like, he's the worst, yeah. I want him gone. Like,
Vienna was not just trying to balance her own emotions around Jake's presence there and her own, like, triggers. She was also having to regulate and, like, deal with Casey and Casey's triggers with the whole situation. And then they also had their own individual triggers within their relationship dynamic, that they were just factors and so many things going on with Vienna that it wasn't just about, like... you're on your reunion and you're saying things to be cordial. I don't know. Like, it was just an unnecessary comment on Chris's part. He's like, things are different now. It's like, yeah, this is a completely different situation. Of course, things are different now.
Erica says she doesn't understand than why Vienna was so focused on getting rid of Jake. And it's like, because Jake and her are not going to be in an alliance. Like, not everybody can do like what June did in Big Brother 4 and align with their ex. Most people, if your ex is in the house, you want them gone.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Of course.
Vienna's trying very hard to push against this idea that she wasn't past things with Jake. And I honestly think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. Like, she was probably upset by Jake being there, but I don't think it's so black and white the way people are making it seem of, like, oh, she just couldn't. Like, I think people over-dramatize things. It's like, yeah, it was probably upsetting to have him there. And yeah, part of her personal history with him probably did influence the reason she was pushing him. But it was also a game thing, and it was complicating her game, so obviously she wanted him gone. It's, like, not that intense and, like, dramatic as people are making it seem. That's my opinion.
Yeah, especially because if you're Vienna and you're just thinking about it from a game point of view, you don't know if Jake wants you around that long. And also, Jake has a knack for turning people against Vienna and for, like, winning people over. Like, he's obviously very charismatic. So that was probably her fear, was, like, he's gonna turn the people in the house against me and then I'm gonna be gone. Like, even if he was doing that, like, whole buddy-buddy thing about, like, I'm gonna give her a rose. Like,
and it was also probably highlighted a lot in the edit. Like, probably every single time she mentioned him, it was shown. And there was probably a lot else that
she said at some point. You guys think that it was just, like, all negative all the time, but it's like, we do get along. It's like, that's just the way that uncrafted, edited show goes, is that they have to focus on the most dramatic parts. So they're not gonna put in all the times where they're just, like, not bothering each other in the show.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. Kirk says it would have been good to hear why it failed on both sides, not just why Jake sucked.
Okay, and then I put, okay, he said this. I said, what do you mean? Jake did repeatedly talk about Vienna's role in their breakup. He talked about how she sold the story to some tabloid. He talked about how she cheated on me. They, like, threw in that, like, most likely to cheat on someone in the egg game. And he threw it at Vienna because he was like, Vienna did cheat on me repeatedly. Like, Jake continuously, maybe not in the house, but in the ITMs. And, like, are you not watching the show? In the ITMs, Jake was...
I think he meant he wished Vienna would, like, come to... Like, that's what it felt like to me. Like, he was criticizing Vienna for, like, her one-sided narrative. That's what it felt like to me. Like, she was like, it would have been nice to hear how it failed on both sides. Like, I think he was saying, I wish Vienna had said, like, I wasn't the, like, best partner.
Vienna should have taken accountability.
It's like, for what?
Jake didn't.
I agree. That bothered me on
Kirk's end. I kind of read it as, like, the way I understood Kirk's comment, it was him saying that he thought that there was too much focus on, like, Jake being the bad guy, and that they didn't really harp on what Vienna did wrong. But it's like, I do think that there was a lot in there for Vienna, as is evident by the fact that the audience doesn't like her. At some point, she, like, makes some joke and she giggles, and the audience is absolutely quiet. Jake, like, does a weird, like, serial killer smile, and everyone's, like, clapping like crazy. Like, she was obviously disliked. Maybe, again, I wasn't on social... I don't even think that social media was
maybe, like,
that
big Twitter at the time. Was kind of a thing.
But, like, I don't know what the discourse was around the show when it was first airing, but just based on the studio audience and the way things were edited, it portrayed to me that people did not like Vienna.
Or even, I remember, Jake went on some date. I don't remember who he went on the date with.
Yeah.
But they were out in public on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he had people stopping him. So it's like, obviously, this didn't damage your reputation so much that people weren't still fans of you. I do think widely, maybe some people turned on him a little bit, but I think a lot of people were ready to excuse the way he acted, the way that he does later, excuse it as, like, just a moment, yeah, of, like, one mistake, and you shouldn't talk to people that way, instead of just, like, he was not a good person in the relationship.
At some point, Chris Harrison says, there's been a lot of talk about you being a bad person or something like that, and he goes, what do you have to say about that? Like, I thought it was so funny. Chris Harrison goes, so are you a bad person? I'm like, what do you mean? That's a crazy-ass question.
But, like, I don't know. That bothered me, that comment of Kirk's, because I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean? We've gotten plenty of negativity about Vienna. You want Vienna to say, I was crazy, he didn't abuse me? That's not her experience in the relationship.
I think my perspective on this is the things that we saw about Jake's fault in the relationship were behaviors we saw of his on screen being portrayed, and, like, things that he was actively doing. Everything that we heard about what Vienna did was hearsay and from Jake's mouth. So, like, what did she do wrong in this season besides be, like, maybe a little bit quote-unquote unstable? But it's like, she was just emotional and having a hard time. Like, I don't think she did anything. Like, honestly, she avoided Jake as much as she could. Like, I don't think she did anything that, like, on screen looked like, oh my gosh, she was the worst.
I didn't understand.
So it's like, to me, it's like, I'm hearing about, I'm seeing people's actions and I'm reading behaviors versus I'm hearing what someone said they sold something to a tabloid.
And it's like,
what do you mean?
Of and also, course.
Do I give a fuck that she sold something to a tabloid? No.
Of course.
Let her get her bag. Like,
of course.
She abused her. She's going to get her bag. Especially because the show then The show then profited off their breakup, so of course she wants to get her bag. What's wrong with that?
Of course, if a man emotionally abuses a woman, he's not, like, it's not, it wouldn't be out of the ordinary or out of character for him to then malign her. Like, this is like, hello, we've been here. Like, it wouldn't be shocking to me that he's going to be like, oh, she cheated on me. It's like, okay. I don't believe you. You're not a reliable narrator to me. Mm-hmm. After the commercial break, Jake is in the hot seat. Apparently, he was one of America's favorite bachelors. Like, okay. His return for the bachelor pad was one of the most controversial parts of the season. He gives his thoughts on his time there, etc. And then we get a highlight reel.
Grace Harrison says that he says there's been a lot of talk about if you're a bad person or not. And then he says, what's your thoughts on that? Jake says something like, he talks about this one bad moment before, right? And then he also says that, like, but Bachelor Pat is who I really am. So, like, if what you saw on screen is me being a bad person, then I guess I'm a bad person or something. Like, he says something like let my behavior speak for itself, which, like, I guess that won people over. But to me, I was like, he was giving such creepy vibes that, like, yeah.
It was disingenuous from the start. Like, the one note I have in here is that he is a phony. He's a phony. Like, if that's what you saw, that's your real self. What I saw is a man desperately trying to seem like a good person mm-hmm. when the intentions are not there. Because frankly, if I hurt somebody and I went on this show and they were that upset to be around me and they were that uncomfortable, I would not give them a rose and try to make amends. I would leave. I would leave. I'd be like, okay, this is, I am not, me being here is not making the situation better. It's making it worse and I don't want to make it worse for you.
And at some point he goes, this couldn't be rectified off camera. Right? Like, there's something about, like, why couldn't you talk about this off camera? And I wrote down that the reason he couldn't do it off camera is because it wouldn't save his public image. Like, all of this is phony to me because he made no efforts to contact, I don't know if that comes in later, he made no efforts to contact Vienna.
Yeah, she says he could have apologized sooner. And then...
Exactly.
And then he because, even...
Like, I tried to call you.
And he says that he thinks that she kept it going and, like, didn't let it go and didn't address it sooner because it was profitable for her. And keeping it alive was, like, lucrative financially. And it's just, like, you are just... If this is who you are, if Bachelor Pad is who you are, then to me you are an evil, vindictive man. Maybe not evil because I don't like using the word evil, but it's like very sinister to be like, oh, she kept talking about the way I hurt her because she was making money. Like, hello, that is like abuser 101. Like, she's doing this for attention, she's doing this for money, and then smearing her publicly. Like, it feels like a very obvious case of a man wronging a woman and then trying to malign her, ruin her, discredit her opinion, brush it off as just, like, one mistake. Like, yes, this is he brushed routine. Off, this he, is textbook.
He brushed off his behavior as a one-time mistake while consistently, like, putting himself in a position to be victimized. Like, at some point, he said he had his heart handed to him, like, in the show. I'm like, when? Like, during the breakup? Like, I didn't understand
what he was talking about. I thought he was saying, like, I don't know. I didn't either. I was like, maybe he meant on The Bachelorette. Like, he was trying to be like, I've been hurt before, too. I don't know. It was very odd.
Yeah. I don't know if this was in the highlight reel or not. But at some point, Vienna says that she was sick, hurt, and scared. And every emotion, all those bad emotions put into one. And I said, that is how I feel when Jake is on screen. And then I also said... I can't believe people hate people. Oh, yeah. At some point, when Chris Harrison asked me if he was a bad person, he said America saw who he really was. I'm like, no. Like, he goes, this is who I really am about Bachelor Pad. I'm like, I don't think that that's right. And also, the fact that he thinks that he looks fine, like, he looked really creepy to me. Okay, at some point, Chris Harrison talks about Jake's decision to give Vienna the rose. And he goes that he screwed a lot of people over with that decision. And I said, I think Jake did not screw over the producers with that decision because it added so much drama and it, like, added so much to his storyline. And then Chris Harrison's like, it was really bad gameplay. And it's like, at the end of the day, no one is acknowledging the fact that Jake was not here to play Bachelor Pad. Jake was here to play PR spin school.
Okay? It was all about his public image. He didn't give a fuck about good gameplay.
And he said that. Like, he said it in a, like, in a bad, like, in a
I'm
nicer way.
I'm gonna follow my sword thing. This is an act of kindness.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm here to rectify the situation and make amends. It's not about the money. No, no. Like, yes, it's not about the money for you. You don't care about the money. You're not playing the game. But it's not because you're trying to rectify the situation. You're trying to fix people's negative perceptions of you. Do you have any other thoughts on Jake?
I was really confused by who she profited off of this. I thought it was really weird.
Me too. It's like, what? By selling it to a tabloid? By, like... I mean, it's not like... Did she even, like, write a book? Like, what... maybe she did a few interviews. Like, what do you mean? And he probably has a lot more money than...
It also, it does weird me out that he was like, I couldn't get into contact with her. It's like, you could have found a way.
No, 100%.
Even, like, through the producers or something. Like, if she changed her number. The excuses seemed really phony, and Vienna just seemed like she didn't really want to put up a fight. So it seemed like people were taking Jake's side. And I kind of saw it as she was just like, I don't want to keep doing this. Like, if people aren't going to believe me, they're not going to believe me, and I'm done. And part of me did wish she just defended herself a little more. Because she tried, but, like, it was, like, clearly not working, and people were clearly not...
I know, and then
her side, and, like, something I wrote in my notes was, like, I guess people really hate Vienna. Like, the way people were treating her in the audience, I was really horrified by the whole situation, and I couldn't believe that Jake got away with it.
At some point, like, it was crazy to me that, like, it feels like her only defense at some point became, like, I didn't hate him that much because of how much people hated that she hated him.
Yeah.
Like, that was then what she was just trying to argue later.
Do you guys like all your exes? Like, oh my god, what do you mean? Everyone just likes their exes usually. Like, a lot of people don't like their exes.
She began defending herself by being like, I didn't hate him that much, guys. It wasn't that bad. It's like, she shouldn't have to do that. Anyways, Casey is in the hot seat next. We get a highlight reel for him as well. He responds to a comment that Justin made, and he says he had a speech impediment. Apparently, Justin says that he, like, spoke, like...
Justin said he spoke like Kermit the Frog,
oh.
Which is appropriate because Vienna is Miss Piggy, is what he said. That is what Justin said. He compared Vienna to Miss Piggy.
I didn't write that down. People
were laughing along. No one was like, how dare he say that? And again, Miss Piggy, beautiful.
I skipped the highlight reel, but they don't look so at, I completely
okay,
missed
the
that.
Highlight reel. I had notes about the highlight reel because at some point he said he wanted to punch.
So the only thing he responded to was that he had a speech impediment. He didn't even defend Vienna.
Later he talks about the fact that in the highlight reel, he says that he wants to punch.
Yeah, no, that I didn't take notes on the highlight reel itself.
Okay. At some point in the highlight reel, he said he wants to punch Jake for America. That's for America. That's for my girlfriend. And then I said Corey Wartenberg would be like... Because he said he wanted to punch her and be like, that's for America. That's for my girlfriend. Whose girlfriend is named America? Corey Wartenberg. I thought that was a funny joke. I wrote it down in my notes.
It is funny. I like that. He, after the highlight, he responds to Jake, or to Justin, saying he had a speech impediment, like, don't make fun of the way I talk. Like, okay.
Also, what does he mean he speaks like a frog? Like, he didn't say he speaks like Kermit the Frog. He said he speaks like a frog, I think. Maybe he said Kermit the Frog. I can't remember, because then he said, and that's appropriate, because Vienna's Miss Piggy, and I was like, what the fuck? And I think in the little, like, box in the corner, like, I think he was laughing.
No, he definitely stands by that. Like, that is Justin's whole vibe.
No, I think Casey was laughing.
Oh, I should have really watched the highlight reel. I was like, I don't care enough about this. I've seen this
show. I don't
think
we had seen that part.
Oh.
I could be wrong, but I don't remember the Miss Piggy.
I don't remember that either, I have to be honest.
From earlier in the season.
I thought it was just stuff I've already seen. I'm like, I don't need to do this.
I think some of it was, but some of it was new. Or maybe I just didn't remember, but I feel like I would have remembered them calling Vienna Miss
Piggy.
Yeah.
Casey says that this isn't him. It was hard for him to watch. And I really don't like the way he framed his relationship with Vienna as something where he was talked down to and he was beaten down and, like, he very much victimizes himself in the entire thing instead of, like, I cannot stand when somebody's like, this isn't me. I was so ashamed in order to apologize for what they've done because then they make themselves the victim in... And I get it. Sometimes you don't want to feel like you're a bad person, but it's, like, a little odd.
Almost the entirety of Casey's hot seat segment was him throwing Vienna under the bus in a weird way while also being like, I'm ashamed for my behavior and like, this isn't me and like, I saw a lot and like, this is a toxic relationship. I don't want to be in a relationship like this. Like, he was clearly trying to take some accountability while also being like, leaning so heavily into the fact that it's like, the concept of like, there's two people in a relationship and like, Vienna played a part in this, which is true. Like, there are two people in a relationship, but I do think that he was like, objectively like, being a lot meaner to her than she was to him. And I was just kind of baffled by the entire situation, especially because it's revealed later that they're, like, still in a relationship at this point. It was very confusing. And then at some point, Erica's like, well, but I think they're going to make it because they came to visit me. And it's like, we really, like, they completely beat down the entire relationship. And we're, like, basically, like, this is a horrible relationship. No one wants to be in this relationship, including Casey. Casey was like, I don't want to be in a relationship like this. And he just seemed so apologetic. At some point, Chris Harrison says, you seem like a changed man.
It was crazy. Chris Harrison even addresses Vienna during this hot seat and is like, this is really affecting him. Like that was crazy to me. It's like, what? Him treating me horribly is affecting him? Like, okay, I'm supposed to feel bad that he feels bad that he was horrible to me? Very confusing. I felt insane watching it. She makes a valid point about how most couples don't have their fights broadcast and then don't have to revisit
it. I wrote that down too. Like, if all of your arguments with someone were on TV, then of course people would pick it apart. People usually not their best selves in an environment.
Yeah.
Like this period, let alone when you like throw in an established relationship. Like there's a lot of dynamics that are difficult being in the Bachelor Mansion or in a game show like this, let alone if like you come into it with someone you already know. Like, of course there's gonna be
Yeah, someone. That is always something I try to have grace for, because I would not want like my worst fights shown on TV. So that I do have some compassion for. William says he doesn't think this is healthy, and hopefully they're reflecting on their relationship.
William just kept throwing his two cents in. I said, William clocking in for his screen time. Who is he? Like, who is he? At some point, Erica defends Vienna, and I was like, well, finally, someone's being nice to her, because the entire segment of Casey was him throwing himself under the bus. At some point, he apologizes to Jake.
Jake
does this, like, weird scoldy thing where he's like, you said you wanted to punch me? You said you were, like, in your mind beating me up? Is that appropriate?
Crazy. It was crazy. And then he's like, I should have, like, basically heard your side out more in the relationship with Vienna. Like,
That Casey, was one of the few times I respected Casey was at the beginning, where he was like, I've heard a lot about things about you, and I don't want to engage with this conversation. Like, one of the very first episodes. I think it was episode one or two. Like, that's what makes sense. It's like, if someone's saying this, like, what do you mean?
No,
Casey gave the vibes of, I can tell that Vienna's going down, and I don't want to go down with the shit.
It really felt, that makes sense. It really felt to me, like, at first he was trying to be like, you hurt my girlfriend, so I don't like you. And then it just became this thing where it was, like, not about that. It was about, like, you are her ex. It felt like possessive. And if I was Casey and that was somebody hurt somebody that I cared about a lot, and then I said I wanted to punch them, what I would have said is, I shouldn't have spoken about it that way. I was very defensive, and it was hard for me to see this person I care about being hurt. But Casey doesn't seem to have that kind of, like,
at some point he literally told Vienna to get over it, like,
yeah, a few, like, episodes ago. It doesn't feel like that's what it is for Casey.
No, it gave all optics. It looks good for me. Vienna's on the right side right now, so it looks good for me to side with her. Now people don't like Vienna, and he can tell, so he's throwing her under the bus while also, like, taking the most little bits of accountability someone can take by being like, that wasn't me, whatever. Chris Harrison is, like, literally patting him on the back and being like, you're a changed man and all this stuff, and, like,
insane. Erica says,
at some point he goes, well, that's Vienna or something, and she, like, kind of giggles and she seems uncomfortable. And then Chris Harrison goes, if I said that about my wife, I was like, he didn't really say it. He just said that's who she is. Like, that wasn't that bad to me.
Yeah,
some of the other things were bad.
They never they didn't address, like, the really bad stuff he said, in my opinion.
No.
Oh, he wanted to punch Jake. That's fine. But telling Vienna that she should get over being emotionally abused, that's fine.
Exactly. The only, like, real points of, like, the only real thing that Casey had to come face-to-face with in terms of the things he said and, like, the words, like, the only thing he was, like, held to the fire on and asked to take accountability was the comments about punching Jake. Or, like, he wanted to beat him up. At some point, Jake, I literally said this already, he, like, scolded him. He goes, you said you wanted to punch me for America. Is that appropriate? Is that an appropriate comment? I was like, this is a reality TV show. What do you mean it's just an appropriate comment? Like, it gave such bad vibes. Like, who are you on your high horse? You literally have gone on here and said, like, it was one bad moment, whatever. It's like, why can't Casey have a bad moment then? Like, it's just weird because Jake Pavelka doesn't have any kind of, like, when he is rude to someone on screen and, like, clearly talking down to someone and emotionally harming someone, then it's like, this is a bad moment, that's not who I am. But when Casey, like, in the heated moment says he wants to punch you in the face,
he, like, doesn't have the grace for people that he expects from everybody else.
Yeah.
Anyways, Erica says she spent time with them since and they seem okay, and, like, she tries to vouch for them in a relationship.
That was, like, one of the few moments I was like, thank you, Erica, because she pissed me off this entire
everybody's movie. Like, saying that they're a horrible couple, and she's like, well, not that bad. Then Blake is in the hot seat next. The Melissa stuff comes up first, and he objects to the idea that he was using her. says it's a weird science experiment and the lines blur between partnership and more.
Before that happened, there was a clip of him saying, he was brushing his teeth, and he goes, I need 40 more seconds. Vienna goes, do you really brush your teeth for that long? He goes, yeah, two minutes.
That was funny to me, yeah.
I wrote down Slay Gentle Hygiene.
I didn't write that down because I was like, it's not related to the game, but it was funny.
Okay, Blake's entire, like, when they showed his highlight reel, I was like, okay, I kind of hated him while watching, but when I saw his highlight reel, I was like, okay, he's clearly playing the game, you know? Later, some information is revealed that I was like, okay, I'm out on Blake. All the apes.
I was kind of always torn on Blake because I was like, okay, he's playing the game. Also, at least for me, like, when he was doing things that I thought were, like, icky or I really didn't like, I was like, he's kind of entertaining. Casey, it was just unsettling and upsetting to watch. Because Blake seemed to have a level of, like, he's doing things bad, but he knows, like, this is not ideal, and, like...
Blake's moral failings were in service of moving his game forward. Casey was just being a shitty person, and he was also hurting his game. So it's like, why am I even watching this?
And saying that he was, like, a great person. He does say he wouldn't do it again, and then the kissing Melissa was unnecessary. And she says that he had previously told her he didn't want to do anything on camera, so when he did kiss her, she thought that it was real. And you know what? Everybody who thought Melissa was crazy, I never did. I was always like, he's leading her on. He's saying outwardly that he's leading her on. And then she's emotional and confused because she's being led on. Like, that is a very upsetting situation. This just further emphasizes to me that Melissa is not, like, some crazy irrational. She handled some things not the best. I didn't like when she started calling, like, Holly names because, like, that was unnecessary. But, like, I never really sided with Blake and the Blake and Melissa. I understood somewhat if he was doing it strategically. But this definitely adds, like, a layer. But it always felt to me like he was doing it, like, strategically in a bad way. Like, he was like, oh, no, like, he was being very unclear.
Yeah, to me, when I first watched the, like, highlight reel, I was like, okay, Blake played the game. Like, maybe I was a little too hard on him. And then the context that Melissa provided made it seem really shitty to me because at some point he said something like, it wasn't necessarily a relationship, it was, like, a partnership, and this game is all about, like, having a partner. And I think that, like, that makes sense in terms of, like, Holly and Michael. Like, they obviously didn't have anything super... They had a previous relationship, so it's a tad different, but it's, like, they were not going on dates, like, and being super romantic. They were just playing the game together. So I was like, okay, I kind of get if that was what he was going for, and he didn't know, like, how to establish that. But the fact that he said, I'm not going to kiss anyone on camera, I wish that he had just stuck to that and been like, I don't want to do any other relationship stuff, but I want to, like, ride with you to the end. And then that would have been a lot more respectable, even if he said something like, I can see us being together after this or whatever, but like he just kind of left it vague. That wouldn't be that big of an issue to me. Or even if he just kissed her once, but then afterwards, like, was like, I can't do this anymore, like, I got really uncomfortable. But the fact that he told her that and then proceeded anyway made it really shady.
Yeah, and he, like, after their date or something, he, like, was like, but how do you know that I also don't want a relationship? Like, he had a weird conversation with her where he was like, no, I actually am kind of interested in you. That was unnecessary. Like, there were a lot of steps he could have in that moment been like, I'm not feeling it, but I want us to be partners. Like, he mishandled it very much.
Yeah, and I think at some point she mentions it. She goes, later we agreed that we weren't going to be romantic, and I agreed to that. So it's like, what do you mean?
Exactly.
Like, the thing is, he was doing something in service of his game, but it was, like, so unnecessary and just made things much worse for him in the end that it just, like, was not.
No, 100%, 100%.
Because, like, I'm all about people playing the game and being a little bit, you know, nefarious, but it wasn't necessary here.
He says that when she got her feelings hurt, she, like, rallied the troops against him, and that bothered him. And she says that he was keeping another man's partner safe. Like, at that point, she didn't think that they were really a partnership anymore if he is not keeping her safe as a duo. She does admit that she doesn't do well on reality TV.
And then her friend in the back, who I don't even remember her name, was, like, nodding along really shadily. I was like, this is not necessary.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, Melissa goes, I'm not like this off camera. Like, I don't cry a lot. And then her friend in the back is, like, making a face like, well, she definitely cries a lot. I'm like, that's not necessary, actually.
I agree. It's also, like, maybe you only know her on reality TV. She's literally saying this kind of environment isn't the best for her.
Yeah, it was unnecessarily shady.
After a commercial break, they talk about Holly. He says he's madly in love with her. They haven't gone a day without talking. They're fully in a relationship. And he says...
The way this is teed up is so weird.
He says...
After it's revealed that they're,
like... It's the most serious relationship he's ever been in.
They make it seem like they're just in a talking phase. And then suddenly it's like, boom!
She's moving to South Carolina for him because he just bought a dental practice there. Oh, actually, that makes sense that he was good with dental hygiene. I didn't put that together.
Oh! see it was important.
It was important.
I heard him say he got a practice. I didn't remember what he did.
Oh, yeah. No wonder he's keeping up appearances. He's like, yes, I do. And you should all, too.
Sasha's so slay now.
We then see footage of them after the show, and he, like, proposes. They're engaged.
That was such a weird decision to film that. I didn't like
it. It was very, very odd. And then the way they showed it, it was like, I really felt like, to me, Blake was like, hey, I want a Neil Lane ring. Because they did the whole zooming in on Neil Lane branded ring. He definitely wanted a ring he didn't have to pay for.
Yeah. I also feel like after the Casey and Vienna thing kind of blew up, they were like, we need a love story. Yeah,
we need some kind of romance.
So they just like, but it just felt really... It felt really misplaced. I would have aired it at a different time. Like, airing it right during the hot seat was a little weird. Like, I think it should have been, like...
I agree, because after... Holly's not there.
Yeah, it should have been, like... It was just really weirdly presented to us. I didn't enjoy it. And then finding out what we find out later. Because I had already told Emmy that when I watched this, I remember, like, vividly seeing a clip somewhere. Because, obviously, we've been Bachelor Nation fans for years. And, like, Bachelor Pad clips, they float around. And I had seen a clip of Michael finding out that Holly and Blake are engaged. But I didn't know the context of the fact that they aired the engagement beforehand. Like, I knew that he was, like, she said, we're engaged. And he was like, oh, my God, I'm just finding that out. Like, I thought it was, like, she was telling him for the first time. No one else knew. At this point, they aired the proposal. Insane. And then right after, it's like, oh,
like she tells him. The final so four weird. Come out, and it's like everybody in the audience and all the other contestants know that Holly is engaged to Blake, except Michael. He's the last one to know. Like, that was very odd.
It was so weird.
It was very, very odd. Anyways.
Especially given the fact that this game is about duos and they're, like, at the end together.
It was very, very weird. Then the final four come out. Also, I Googled it. Should I say now or should I say at the end?
You can say now.
I Googled it. Holly and Blake got married. They have two kids. They're still together, which is crazy. I think they're the most successful couple from Bachelor Pad.
Probably the only one.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody from season 3 got together, but season 2 had a few couples that lasted a few years, but none that are still actively together. The final four come out now. Chris Harrison tells Holly that they found out the news, and Holly says Michael doesn't know, and he says they're moving, right? And then he finds out that they got engaged. This part killed me. It's super awkward. I felt horrible for him. He's not mean or anything. He's just like, this is weird that this is how I find out.
Very honestly, odd. I thought he handled it really well. I thought he was really in control of his emotions. I couldn't believe the way he reacted. He goes, I ultimately just want her to be happy. Like, I thought that his reaction was very commendable. And then I wrote down, he should take the money. Like, take the money and run. Take the money and run. Because right now, you're going to split the money with what? Your ex-fiance and her new fiance? Soon to be husband because they do get married? No! Take the money!
Yeah. He's just...
Anyways. Maybe that's why he goes back. Michael goes back on season 3. Maybe he goes back because
He's like, I need the other half of the money.
I want to be cutthroat now. I want to take the money. Chris... should have done that. I wonder what he is like on season 3. He got sent home on season 3 in a nefarious way.
Oh, right. You told me about that.
They, like, broke game show law.
Chris asks how they handled things in the house with their pre-existing relationship. And he says, just loving each other through it. It's kind of beautiful. He appreciates her loyalty. And he says they just had mutual respect for each other when it was hard, etc. Then Michelle and Graham talk next. Her dad passed away and he really helped her through it. They're together. They dated for a bit, but they're not currently together in 2025. I almost said 2024. Final question.
Oh, I thought you meant that they said in the reunion. I was like, no, they're together.
No, right they're now. Together in the reunion. Sorry. The final questions.
Because I wrote down that I think Michelle and Graham were robbed because they're actually in a relationship together. So I think that they should, like, I guess now we're 2 for 2 where.
Yeah, it's not the couple that's crazy.
I just think it's weird. Like, this show never really figured it out.
The final questions, Justin asks
Michael. Wait, I did say, I have one more thing to say about the Michael and Holly thing. I do genuinely feel like the producers were trying really hard to provoke Michael into taking the money or to creating some, like, false drama about, like, will he take the money or will he not? Because I think before this engagement thing was revealed, I think it would have been like, well, of course Michael and Holly are going to split the money. Michael has a lot of respect for Holly. I think that they were trying to make him seem bitter or, like, potentially bitter. And they were trying to provoke him into taking the money or, like, creating false drama.
Justin asks Michael and Holly what she did to help them because he thinks Michael really carried their team. And then Michael says that during the final challenge, it required a lot of trust and she trusted him. He really vouches for Holly, which was nice. Then Erica says she's torn because she likes what Michelle and Graham want to do with the money, charity-wise. But based on who won the challenges, she thinks maybe Holly and Michael deserve it more. Like, okay, no for Michael and Holly.
You just donate your money to charity on Erica? Like, what do you mean?
Michelle says she doesn't want anybody to feel like they have to vote for her because of the charity aspects. But she also defends herself and her gameplay by saying that she and Graham did have a strategy and they were staying away from the drama, laying low, etc. And then Justin questions that and Graham is like, we already know who you're voting for.
Oh my God.
It was kind of dramatic. Everyone votes on who they want to go to the final. The first couple to receive 8 votes goes to the finals. Jake votes for Holly and Michael. Vienna votes for Michelle and Graham. Casey votes for Michelle and Graham. Blake votes for Holly and Michael. Erica votes for Holly and Michael. Melissa votes for...
Of course Blake votes for Holly and Michael because he wants the money. Like, oh my God, Michael, take the money.
Melissa votes for Michelle and Graham. William votes for Michelle and Graham. Jackie votes for Holly and Michael. Ames votes for Holly and Michael. Justin votes for Holly and Michael. Ella votes for Holly and Michael. They need one more at this point, and Gia votes for Holly and Michael. Now they have to vote to keep or share. If both share, they share. If one of them votes to keep, that person keeps. If they both vote keep, all the other contestants get the money. Michael's a nice guy. I wasn't really worried at all that he would split it, and I really didn't think she would either because I was like, or that she would keep it. I was like, she's not going to do that because that would make her a mean person.
Yeah. Right, imagine. You already had the fiancé, you broke his heart, and now you're going to take the money?
That would be diabolical. He, I didn't think, was going to do it because he seems like a nice guy.
Right, but they were trying to build some kind of tension.
Yeah. Then Casey says Holly proved she'd choose her partner over love in the game by sending Blake home, and Michael knows that, so he doesn't think that Holly will betray him. Or he doesn't think that Holly will betray him or Michael will betray her. Gia says it's got to be hard being in Michael's situation.
I agree.
And I agree. Erica says she wouldn't hold it against Michael if he kept the money. But Erica's take on Holly is exactly my thought. She wouldn't want to hurt Michael further after getting engaged to another guy. Mm-hmm. Then,
although even if she's like a cold-hearted person, like just optically it doesn't look good for you.
Yeah. Then Justin and William.
Beyond if she actually gives a fuck about Michael, which I do think she does. Even if you do not give any fucks about him, you're not going to do it because you're going to look terrible.
Yeah, I agree. William and Justin speculate about Michael getting revenge. I was not thinking that was going to happen at all. Melissa says she'd keep it if she were Michael. And then Blake, they pan to Blake shaking his head.
Okay. He would too. Imagine it's Blake and Melissa at the end. He's taking the money.
That's true.
Him and Holly are taking the money.
That's true.
Oh my God.
At the end, the last person to speak is Justin, and he says he hopes they both pick keep
so he
can get
the money.
Then
you get what, like $3,000?
Holly,
like 20 of them.
That's true. Holly and Michael
that's
come out.
Math, you know what I mean.
Holly and Michael come out. She says Michael deserves the money, so she obviously. But she doesn't know what he's thinking. So again, they're trying to build the tension.
Okay, if I'm Holly, I'd be pissed the fuck off at the producers. Because why? Because they probably didn't let her.
Yeah, they probably like...
They were like, you can't tell Michael.
They arrived separately. They were in separate green rooms. They like wouldn't let them.
Like, if I'm Holly, I'm kind of pissed the fuck off. I think she knew Michael was a good person. So she probably wasn't that worried. But I would be like slightly anxious about it. And then I would have a thought in the back of my head of like, did the producers fuck me here? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Because why are you revealing this like information to... It's like in Big Brother, they do all the reveals after the votes have been cast. Like, oh my God, someone's a secret cop or whatever. Someone secretly went to this. Jared was Usuri's son. Like, that was... honestly, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I do think Derek in BB16 kind of rotted future house guest brains because you don't have to keep it a secret.
You really don't.
Bowie Jane is like, I'm gonna lie about being 35. Like, what do you mean, girl? It's fine. It's okay to be 45.
No, they keep everything a secret.
Exactly.
It's like, not everything has to be a secret. Anyways. Yeah, Holly goes first. She picks Cher.
Of course she does, because they have to build the tension.
Then he goes, he picks Cher as well. Then they announced the new Bachelor, but this was years ago, so it's old news. But
Bernie Robertson's ex.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, which is iconic. I've seen that season, actually, because
really?
Of Courtney. Didn't we watch it together?
No.
Okay. And anyways, that's a wrap on Bachelor Pad season 2. I'm glad that Michael won. I get why he didn't, but it would have been fun if he stole the money. And you know what? I'm happy for Holly that her and Blake ended up together.
Emmy told me that when Emmy told me, because I told Emmy that I already knew that, like, Holly announced that she was engaged to Blake. But again, a bachelor engagement, it's like nothing. They break up all the time. So I didn't really think that they would still be together. The fact that they're still together is crazy, especially because there's like so many montages about like successful couples and they never mention them.
Like,
I've heard about like, Michael's twin brother and some other girl more than I've heard about him. And they met on the show.
Maybe because of some... I don't know.
I do feel like Bachelor Pad is kind of like... They don't really talk about it
It's like the ugly duckling. They don't want to... No. Like, the black sheep of the family. Maybe it ended on a really bad note. Like, season three, like, was very controversial. I don't know. I will probably be watching season three, but because I have so much other TV to cover, I'm not going to cover it on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it anytime soon. Traitors is coming up.
Which I'm excited about that.
I also want to wait. I know how season three ends, so I want to wait a bit until I'm like... I'm never going to like fully forget it, but I want to wait until it's not like so present.
Right, yeah. No, me too. There's a lot of shows coming.
Because I was so interested in like what happens if someone... I mean, like, spoiler alert for season three is when the guy takes the money. And I was kind of... I remember seeing a clip of that. So I was like, I know it happens at some point. And based on an interview he did after he took the money, is he said that apparently the people were, like, talking really bad about him. So that's why he decided to take the money. So I'd just be really interested in, like,
seeing how that all goes. Imagine Vienna and Casey in the final and she takes the money. I would have been eating that up.
I guess she would have never done it because people hate her. No, it wouldn't. She's been, like, so nice to Jake in the tell-all. Anyway, my final thoughts are the fact that I think that Jake Pavelka is really, really scary. And I genuinely hope that he's not like that in real life. But you know what it is? It's like the weird, like, trying to maintain control of your emotions while provoking someone to react emotionally. So then they seem like the crazy one. Like, it seemed very intentional and, like, very... At some point, I wrote down in my notes that he, like, called her a nickname. He goes, like, V, can I talk to you outside or something? And it's like, why are you isolating her? Why are you calling her by a nickname? Like, we don't have rapport. He's, like, basically lying, saying I couldn't get in touch with her all these years, so I had to do it on screen. It's like, you know what? Even if you couldn't get in touch with her, if you're both, like, sequestered right before you start filming, couldn't you tell the producer, I just want to apologize to Vienna off camera? Right? They could have still had her, like, they could have still had the mic, like, they could have shown it behind the door. They do that all the time. Like, if the producers really wanted that on screen, they could have still had a way for, like, Vienna to feel safe. I think there would have been ways for Jake to get in touch with Vienna that even if he really didn't have her number. Like, it all just seemed very phony to me, and the fact that everyone was buying it is what made it even more sinister to me. Like, if it was, like, Jake was, like, trying to be a used car salesman, but people saw it through Zach, that'd be one thing. But people were not seeing through Zach, and that was very concerning to me.
I agree. Anyways.
I was introduced to him on Worst Cooks. He was in Worst Cooks of America Celebrity Edition. That's how I got to know Jake Pavelka. And then he's a former bachelor. The other thing about Jake Pavelka, last thing I'll say about him, because I am slandering him quite a bit, is at some point he said, or no. The thing about Jake Pavelka is that he gives such short energy, and he's actually not that short. He's like 5'10 or something. Like, he's like an average sized guy, but like he gives 5'6 vibes. Like, he's so short.
But also for The Bachelor, that's short.
Yeah, he's short for Bachelor, but he looks like a short
five. Yeah, yeah, no, because maybe he carried that with him. Maybe he was like the shortest Bachelor at the time ever.
Well, I should probably be the shortest one.
Honestly,
ever.
Most of them are at least like six
foot. Yeah.
He probably is the shortest Bachelor ever. Maybe that's where all his anger came from.
God, he's so annoying.
Anyway. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. I'll be here soon for The Traitors. And if you enjoyed my sister being here, comment down below so she can come back. Thanks. Have a great week.
Thank you.